We're reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time, he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all of the people of the surrounding country of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. A man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
So we're going to talk about demons tonight. And one of the things that I want us to do is name some of the current demons that plague us and plague our society. We've just been talking about immigration and what our country is doing. And I can think of many other demons, mental illness, addiction, things that we think of as more psychological and so forth, but also very systemic things that are binding us. And so I invite you to share, what are some of the demons that bind you, that bind our society? As we look at this passage tonight, I want us to keep those demons in mind and to keep in mind the power of God and God's ability to cast out all of these demons. So the context for this passage is Jesus and his disciples have been out on a boat in the Sea of Galilee, and there's a big storm, and he calms the storm and demonstrates his power over even the forces of nature. And they sail on, and they sail across the sea, the large lake, to the other side. Galilee is in the west, and this territory, another country, is in the east. And as soon as they land, this man who is possessed by demons comes right up to him. And I think we lose the radicalness of that sometimes. I mean, if this were made into a horror film, it would be very frightening, right? He's naked. He you can only begin to imagine what he must look like. He's on the fringes of society. I mean, the nakedness sort of symbolizes the fact that he is outside the borders of culture, of society, of humanity even. And when Jesus asks him his name, he responds, Legion. It's a military term, like we might say a division in an army, thousands of soldiers, thousands of demons possessing this man. And they beg Jesus not to send them back to the abyss where presumably horrible things happen to them, but rather into the pigs. And he does, and they run down and throw themselves into the sea and drown. And that might say something about the self-destructive power of evil. That even when it has its own way, it destroys itself. And the big point here is that God is powerful, that God can cast out demons and break the chains that bind us and free us from bondage, not just 2,000 years ago, but today as well. And then to look at what happens after that, what happens to the man after he is cured, and how the local people react. The man becomes a disciple of Jesus. He's clothed, symbolizing his re-entrance into humanity, into relationship with others, and he sits at the feet of Jesus. That's language for learning from a teacher, right? To sit at his feet. The local people are afraid. It says that twice. They are afraid. What exactly they are afraid of? Are they afraid of this kind of power? Are they afraid of the way that he is disrupting society? I mean, he's just sent a bunch of pigs into the ocean, and that certainly has economic ramifications. They are afraid, and they ask him to leave. And the man who's been healed wants to go with Jesus, but Jesus says, no. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. Jesus sends him to go where Jesus himself is not welcome. There are definitely political overtones in this passage. Right, with the term legion being used, talking about being under guard and shackle. And many have pointed out that it's like Jesus is casting out this foreign occupying power that existed at the time in the region when he casts out the legion of demons, right? Casting out the way of governing with strength and violence, rather than the way that God governs. But it's not merely a political allegory, right? The personal is always political, and the political is always personal. This affects real lives. And if Jesus was just a political Messiah, he would have done things very differently. Our first reading tonight from the Book of Kings is set in the context of a lot of violence and bloodshed, a lot of fighting between idol worshipers and the worshipers of the living God. And Elijah is afraid to return to the place, and God says, go back, you have a mission. But if Jesus had come to fight those kinds of battles, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and the soldier and Peter cut off the soldier's ear, he would have said, keep going. When people taunted him on the cross and said, if you're the Son of God, save yourself, he would have done something else. But that's not how God works. And here in this story, we do see an example of how God works. And it is shockingly personal. I was talking with Reverend Katrina Foster about her sermon this week, and she's like, this is about organizational management. And I was like, what? She's like, well, Jesus has some interesting strategies for how you make organizational change, because they kicked him out, and there is one person whose life he changed. And he sends that one person to go and change the others, right? It's not coming in and saying, this is how we're doing things. It's healing one person who is then sent to share that message and share that message with others. And that's what we're sent to do too. As disciples of Christ, people trying to sit at his feet and learn from him, learn about this different way of doing things, a way that does not make sense in the world. From our first reading too, where we expect God to be in the wind that's breaking things apart. We expect God to be in the earthquake, in the fire, but God is in the sound of sheer silence. And God is not riding victorious with sword and shield, but dying on a cross for us. Dying and bringing us with him through those deaths into the resurrection and into that new life. And on the cross, Jesus defeats the ultimate demons, the demons of sin and death. How much does fear of death actually control us? How much does shame and guilt of sins that we have committed control us? Jesus came to set us free from those things, to loose the bonds of oppression and injustice, to break the chains that bind us, whether they come from ourselves or whether they come from the wider society. Jesus came to destroy those demons, to cast them out of us so that we might be free like this man, that we might be able to go and tell and share that news and help others to break free from those demons as well. In Christ, we meet the one who has the final word, who has the final yes for us, that death does not have the final word, sin does not have the final word, our fears do not have the final word, but God's yes, forgiveness, mercy, love, and a justice founded in love. That is God's yes to us.